For members only, Golf Smarter number 310, published on December 6, 2011.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Welcome to the 2011 PGA Tour Medi B Awards.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Matty B.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
How are you, man?
I'm good. I miss you. I miss the audience. I miss doing these. I think the last time we did a show, I think the last time we did a show, we were in a car. Is that correct?
That's right. It was after our round of golf, and we were driving back and just trying to avoid getting hit by anybody.
Yeah.
But we had that wild round of golf. That was a lot of fun. And the video's still up on our YouTube channel of our round of golf.
Oh, good. I hope people enjoyed it as much as we did.
That was so much fun. That was so much fun. Congratulations. I follow your work, and I would love to get an update of some things that are going on. And for people who don't know yet and haven't heard Matty, you got to go back and hear the other shows because we have so much fun. Matty is a professional comedian and actor, and he found the podcast one day and said, "You should see my stuff on NBC Sports." And I'm like, "You're kidding." Right? And that was so, so cool to connect that way. But we've just been having too much fun since then. To me, most notably and most recently, and I hope this isn't a negative to you, but the Evo 3D commercial for Sprint, those in the United States who have noticed the commercial of the dad who wants to take 3D video of the kids playing ping pong. And he just kind of over-dominates on the ping, but he's like, booyah! That's Matty B!
Yeah, that's me, everybody.
The fist bump guy. And now I am an Evo 3D owner.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad I climbed into your mind.
Well, Matty did it. I have to go get the phone.
Well, you know, I've done over 30 national network commercials or something like that and counting. And I did a bunch of ESPN ones that were pretty big, but this one, hands down.
Oh, you were that crazy guy in the parking lot, weren't you?
Yes. Trying to think of the
options.
Right. Yeah.
Like, wait, that was Matty.
So I used to get a lot of double takes back then, but this one, most of my spots, they run and people have no idea it's me. But this one, definitely, I get looks. And the other day I was at a movie theater, just a funny little side note, and I was buying condiments at the movie, snack shack. And the lady working it, right above my head behind me, is this like 60-foot flat screen, just a huge, huge flat screen they had in the movie theater. And my spot was like running in a loop of me doing that to the kid.
Oh.
And I just saw her kind of looking at me and looking up at the TV and looking at me and looking up at the TV. And she goes, "You look just like that guy in that commercial." I'm like, "Oh God, how could you say that? He's so ugly." And I didn't let on that it was me, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, that guy. So you never told her that was you? Never said thank you or anything?
No, I acted like, I was like, "Oh, come on, that guy's ugly." I go, "That's
did you really?"
She goes, "No, he's cute." She's like, "He's cute."
Then it is me.
Yeah, it is me then. So yeah, that one's been a very, very good spot for me, and it was a lot of fun to make. We actually made three. There's a bunch of internet commercials that go along with that ping pong spot for the Evo, and then we did three on camera television commercials. So I'm not sure if they're going to stagger the other two and release them later or what. But yeah, there's actually three in that series. The other one, I'm actually throwing stuff at my wife to goad her into throwing something at me so I can capture it on 3D when she throws it at me. So it's a pretty funny commercial.
I'll tell you, well, this is so golf. On my Evo 3D, the coolest things that I have shot in 3D was somebody playing piano, but I just did it from the side of their hands, really close. See their, wow. You see their hands going back and forth. That's kind of cool. Yeah. Another one I did, I was on, my friend has a private airplane. We went and played golf. We jumped in his plane, went and played golf 150 miles away, came back, and it was awesome. But I did the landing in 3D.
Oh, how cool.
And that was a good one. But the best was I was at a Friday night event where people were kind of dancing their brains out, like a large group of people dancing and fist pumping, and you know, like everyone was bouncing up and down. It was a great dance scene, and I did that in 3D, and it looks amazing. That's the one when people go, when I go, you want to see something really cool, and I show them that, and you feel like you're in that space, and everyone's reaction is basically the same, like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second thing they say is, and what do you use this for?
Yeah. Say,
well, you know, I can upload it to YouTube and you can see it in 3D kind of. No, you can only see it in 3D on this phone. That's the only place you can see it. But the 3D is pretty good.
It is pretty good. The technology is surprisingly good. We were shooting all day on the set, shooting each other and taking all kinds of funny pictures. The 3D pictures are actually pretty stunning, too.
Yes.
The still photos.
Well, you know what? Those look more Photoshop-y than the video. The video looks real. The other one that I shot, and I actually used it in a video that I produced, when I was in Europe this summer, we were in Berlin, and I did a walkthrough of the Berlin Holocaust Memorial.
Wow,
and
geez.
In 3D, that's kind of powerful.
Wow.
2 minutes. Anyway, enough of that. So I'm going to put you on the spot for a second. I know that you're a long time occasional Golf Smarter listener. You don't always get to because you're so busy. But I still appreciate that you listen. But I got an email from a listener today who said, you mentioned on a show recently that you've improved since you've been doing Golf Smarter. You went from like a 20 handicap down to I'm into like a 12-2 right now. But I haven't taken lessons, but I just sit and talk to people about golf all the time. And so he said, why don't you get some listeners on and see, since they've been listening to Golf Smarter, if they've improved and what are the things that stand out? What were their favorite episodes that made them, that stood out to them and helped them in their golf game? I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you remember any Golf Smarter episodes that you listened to that had an impact on your game and you saw improvement after that?
Yes. Absolutely. I can tell you this.
I'm so glad you said yes. Yeah. I was ready to edit this whole thing out.
two things. One was just your general kind of battle cry that you always have about getting lessons, you know, seeking out lessons and not just talking about or thinking about golf, but actually seeing a professional. And I took that to heart. Actually, this year, this off season, I went to the range in my town and took a range lesson from the range pro. And I saw dramatic improvement in my game this summer. As a matter of fact, I won for the first time. I play in a member guest every year with my father at his private club that he belongs to, and we won our flight this year for the first time. We were never even competitive.
Nice.
I saw dramatic improvement. And specifically, your putting guru you had on, and you'll have to help me with his name. There was two. One talked about the banana putting.
Hobart?
Yes, Hobart. And following good job. Nice job, buddy.
Yeah.
Finding the different lines of a way a putt could go in. I never thought of that before based on speed.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy talked about pre-shot routine with putting, which is, for some reason, I'm so stupid. I thought of pre-shot routine, but I never put it into my putting, unbelievably.
Interesting.
And he talked about, I remember, practice strokes behind. Like he never took a practice stroke over the ball. He would do all that behind the ball. And when he picked his line and stepped up, he was just ready to go. And I noticed that a lot of the pros do that too. They kind of waggle and practice swing behind the ball. Then they set their club, you know, when they step in, and they just kind of balance and go. I remember the line he had was, I traced the line with my eyes from the ball down the path to the cup and back again and then pull the trigger. And I had all kinds of different...
You said that because I was wondering why I did that. Oh, it came from a Golf Smarter recording.
Yeah,
interview.
Oh, definitely. It was a putting interview.
All the time.
And he said, I don't waste a lot of time. He said, I trace the line, I trace it back, and I go. And I stole that from him from that Golf Smarter episode, and I've done it ever since. And I've become a way better putter because of that. Because every putt, I did different things. I'd look 20 times sometimes. I'd look once. I would, you know, every time it was different. Those two examples right there.
Awesome. Oh, well, great. Yes. That's great news. That was a lucky toss. All right. Well, thank you very much again for listening. But we are here because it is the annual, as best as we can. It's the Matty B Awards. And we look back on the 2011 golf tour to see what stood out in your mind from a fan's point of view, from a warped mind point of view.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
And And I guess the first question to everyone was, did you watch golf this year?
I did. I'm still in the mode of like working for someone that I have to report on this stuff.
Okay. Well, then you were forced to. Though that's okay. That helps. Because, you know, not a lot of talk about the golf tour this year. Although I am going to be going to the Schwab Cup Championship for a day this year.
Oh, excellent. That'll be fun.
That should be fun. Yeah. Yeah. Freddie!
Yeah. I did watch golf this year, and it was a mixed bag. You know, it was definitely different than it has been. And I think, you know, we could point to Tiger for a lot of that. But it was an interesting year.
Yes. I think interesting year is a fair way to put it. So where would you like to start with the Matty B Awards for 2011 PGA
Okay.
Tour?
Yeah, let me. Do you have your tux on, right? I'm just adjusting my tux.
I do. Here comes Matty down the red carpet now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Matties.
Who is that woman you're with? Matty, my goodness.
It's my publicist.
Who's your caddy there, Matty? This is Matty's caddy.
That's a great segue into my first Matty Award. The Matty for Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, that was totally random. Okay.
Well, also it's actually a double Matty.
Nowhere where this one's going.
This lucky fellow won Best Supporting Actor as well as Best Acceptance Speech. And that goes to little Stevie Williams.
Yeah, right. That was obvious.
Why I'm such a fierce closer speech that he gave after he apparently won the Bridgestone. You know, despite that pesky kid Adam Scott getting in his way by hitting golf shots.
Yeah,
it tells you a lot about him.
That whole divorce was kind of weird too.
Yeah, you know, Stevie Williams, I thought he was locked in forever with Tiger, just because I figured, and I still believe this despite what Stevie Williams said in public, I believe that you know what your golfer's doing, even if you don't know the particulars. I do not believe that he didn't know that Tiger had a dirty little life going on when you spend that much time with someone. Plus, I know from insiders on the tour that Stevie was considered very much, quote unquote, in Tiger's camp.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiger has a close camp. And if you're in it, you're in it. If you're out, you're out. And I know that he was considered one of the kind of, I hate to use this term, but kind of the Tiger Mafia. So I think he knows more than he's letting on, like that whole act of like, I was shocked by what he did and it hurt me. You know, I really don't buy that. I think he was let go for a bunch of different reasons. But, you know, it tells you a lot about his mentality and probably why they worked so well together. You know, kind of the megalomaniacal, win at all costs type of guy. And, you know, I love how Stevie also in that same speech during that tournament, they did a little feature on Steve and he's like, you know, I told Adam, I'll only work with you if you follow my way. You know, I demand excellence at all times. And I'm like, well, yeah, I was thinking Adam Scott's reply should have been like, oh, really? Yeah, you demand excellence. Hey, listen, after you're done lugging my clubs, why don't you get me a Fresca, okay? And make a step so I got some golf to play. You know, it's like, who is he kidding? Like, what is he? I think he really thinks he is a player in some ways. And it's probably why he was so successful with Tiger in some way. No other caddy could have kept up with that machine that was Tiger Woods, you know?
Right. Right.
So good on Steve. He wins the first award.
Well, you know, and I got a couple comments on that, too. I got in a long conversation the other day with a friend who is saying that, you know, nobody, you know, Stevie didn't know and his manager didn't. And it's like, how can you not? And sponsors, he said, sponsors, there's no way sponsors knew. And I was like, I don't buy that at all.
I don't buy it.
I think sponsors absolutely knew what was going on, but he was generating too much money for the company.
You know, it's like therapists always say. Not that I've spent a lot of time with therapists, but they always say with wives, there's not knowing and there's not knowing. And most wives pretend and kid themselves that they didn't know what their husbands were doing. But when they go through some therapy, it's quickly revealed that they actually did know. And I think that, you know, it's one of those deals. I think Tiger, I think people around Tiger, there's no way they couldn't have known. Now, how much they admit they know, even to themselves, is one thing, but I think you're right. I think the people in his camp had to know what he was doing.
Had to know what he was doing.
Yeah.
I just can't buy that they didn't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
That's right.
Knowing, you know, that because it's kind of, unfortunately, kind of prevalent in the sports world that these people think they can get away with everything, and because they do.
Yeah,
and
man.
They have people who are just, anything to be near someone like that, they're going to let you do it.
Yeah, it wasn't just his clubs that that Stevie was, you know, cleaning off and hiding, I'm sure.
Yeah. And the other thing that about the Stevie thing is, I don't know why, it's just me, but I always thought that Stevie was kind of going, hey, Tiger, look, you know, I have an expensive lifestyle since I've been with you for the last couple of years. I have a lot of toys that I like. And if you're not going to work, you know, if you're not going to play and compete and you're going to keep working, I'm not making any money here watching you work on your swing if you're not competing, if you're walking off. I have to work. So tell me, am I going to work this year or do I need to find some? And I think Tiger, that could have pissed Tiger off. And he said, you're out.
Yes.
Who are you?
Yeah, I think that more than that type of thing, more than anything else, is probably, I think you're right. I think that meeting went bad. And then they also said, I think it was, I won't say who it was. I don't want to credit the wrong source, but somebody did a little piece and said that after that, there was a misunderstanding that, you know, he said, hey, I'm going to caddy for Adam Scott. You're out. Is that cool? And Tiger kind of said like, yeah, but it very much was not cool.
Right.
And that got in Tiger's craw also.
Yeah. And so, it's like, because do you think Tiger had him on payroll from his sponsors?
I
doubt it. He was, I know, because it was a number of years ago when Tiger was, when he was in the big money, I mean, like his best year ever.
Yeah.
Stevie was number four on the earnings list in the PGA Tour.
That's amazing.
Right.
That's
amazing. And he gets 10% of the cut. So that's how much money Tiger made versus everybody else. So I'm not so sure that that it was like just Tiger who said, you're out. I think Stevie could have said something that pissed him off. Okay.
Yeah.
So we move best supporting actor and best acceptance speech, Stevie Williams.
Yes. That was now, this one I call the Invisible Maddie. I would liken this award to, you know, awards that are given for like short films or editing, the ones that nobody watches, you know. So the winner of this Invisible Maddie is Bill Haas, because he won the FedEx Cup and nobody cares and nobody knows. In fact, Fred, if I said to you who won the FedEx Cup this year, would you have known it was Bill Haas?
No.
See? And it's no critique of Bill Haas and the Haas family, who are like the Kardashians, you know what I mean, golf. Like they're everywhere. They win everything and they've been around forever. They're a great family. But the FedEx Cup – and by the way, another aside, full disclosure, I was a character called the FedEx Cup Caddy. I don't know if you remember that, Fred, but I was
– Yes, I do remember that piece, yeah.
Yeah, so when you logged on to – we did some commercials, and when you logged on to FedExCup.com, I was this interactive caddy that asked your questions. I no longer work for them, so I can speak freely.
FedEx, you suck.
No, FedEx is a wonderful company, but the FedEx Cup itself is so anticlimactic, I think. It's so confusing.
It's so contrived.
It's so contrived. They're forcing it down our throats for us to care about it by mentioning it every 2 seconds, but no one understands how there's a winner.
Right.
It's supposed to
and then
us
when you win,
operate.
You don't win. You, like,
that's right.
The money that you win is deferred over 10 years.
Yes. Yeah, you can touch it when you're like 60. So it's very weird. I think it should be an MVP race. I think you should have writers vote on it, like other sports, or you know, fans and writers, whatever, however you do it. Or, you know, how about a real playoff system like March Madness? Top 64 players, mano y mano. And then, bam, we got a winner. You have to qualify, you know, because then the qualifying means something.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's like this Dewey Decimal Point system that no one knows. You know, I just picture this like mad science. You know what I picture? I picture the professor from Gilligan's Island with like a coconut computer, like just this mad scientist in some FedEx back room, like doing math to figure out who won. Like you shouldn't, you know, Bill Haas didn't win a major that I'm aware of. And he wasn't on everyone's radar all year. He's a great golfer, but he like mathematically won this.
So
you know
it's
what
just
I'm saying?
Consistency is,
yeah.
is what won it for him.
Yeah,
he just he was up there in the top 10 all the time or something. I don't even know.
I don't even know. And how boring is that? And especially in a sport like golf that already kind of, as far as spectating, lends itself to boredom. To have an award won by a math equation, it just seems silly to me. It should be an MVP. And then even the people say, well, you wouldn't pick the right guy because it'd be an opinion. That's great. I think it would be good because everyone would be arguing over it. No one's arguing over the FedEx Cup right now.
I want to say before we go on that, you know, the opinions expressed on this episode of the Golf Smarter podcast have nothing to do with the management of Golf Smarter.
It's all
they
your
expressly
guests.
Right, they're expressly Maddie's guests' opinions. And the reason I say that is because I think it was a couple of years ago that you did a thing about Oosthuizen.
Yes.
And you railed on him like, who is this? this guy. We don't care, right? And I got some pretty nasty emails from overseas going, if you've been paying attention, who is this guy? Because if you've been paying attention, you'd know that he is an excellent golfer and has been for a number. Well, that's not what Golf Smarter is about, folks. But nor are the Matty B Awards. We're just here having a good time to make fun of people.
Not to dredge that up again, but I will say this. My point was how arbitrary and capricious the majors are, how difficult they are.
Yes.
And the list of winners in majors, you know, in the besides Tiger and besides Phil in that decade was like Louis Oosthuizen, Immelman, Michael Campbell, Ben Curtis, Rich Beam, Sean McKeel, Todd Hamilton, Martin Kamer. These guys
that
were
was
not
impressive.
Well, I know because I was so used to railing about it back then. They're stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, Louis Oosthuizen, and I believe I was proven correct on this point. And what I was saying was he's a nice golfer. He's, you know, mid-tier, but he's not going to – and what's he won since then? Exactly.
crickets.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he's going to be one of those one major winners. Maybe he'll win another two or one turners, but he's not.
So then
so
a major is – it's not, but it's just another weekend of golf. It's just that it's got – more importance on it because of, well, I know that, you know, for the golfer, I mean, for the fan, yes, they're the majors each year, they stand out, they're huge, but what do they mean to the FedEx Cup points? What do they mean beyond just like, it was a weekend that guy won? And on any given weekend, I mean, that's why betting on golf is so stupid because on any weekend,
that's
anybody
right.
can win it.
That's exactly right. It's and the conditions are a little tougher besides some of the British Opens.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone wants to win it because we've deemed them the majors. And it's just it does, like I said, Tiger made us forget. Tiger and Jack Nicklaus before him made us forget that you can't decide to win a major.
Right.
You can want every guy on that practice tee wants to win more than anything and has worked hard. And besides those two, people just don't. Because you try harder doesn't mean you're going to win it. It's an arbitrary thing. Whoever plays, whoever putts well for 4 days is going to win. And that's what it is. So you're going to get this list of names until another Tiger comes along and wins, you know, 4 of the 10 or 5 or 6 of the 10. Then it's going to stay like this. These names are going to pop up and then they're going to fade away again.
Okay, so that begs the question, is there going to be another Tiger that comes along in our lifetime? Or B, is Tiger going to come along once again?
No, I don't think he will, not in the way he did, because I think the last time, and I hate to repeat myself, but it's been a year now, so I think I can. The last time we talked about this, I made the comparison to the 6-minute mile and how no one had ever broke that record. And then I think it was Bannister did it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did it, everyone did it after him. And I feel that was the same with Tiger. You know, before Tiger, no one trained like Tiger. No one had that mentality that Tiger had. He was a phenom. You know, had like Davis Love III and like Payne Stewart, these type of guys. And they didn't know how to handle it. It was like, what is this phenom? But now these kids have grown with a guy who's broken the 6-minute mile, i.e. Tiger Woods. And they've got their sights on something that they can get after.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think there'll be it seems like probably some Asian player because these guys seem to just be coming out so young and so good.
Mm.
But yeah, I think someone will give him a run for his money in our lifetime. Yeah, I do.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So, Bill Haas, congratulations. You have won an Invisible Matty Award.
Oh, my God. What a low point for him. Best director goes to Chubby Chandler, who also won the coveted Matty Award for most inappropriate yet oddly cool name.
There's Chubby. Really some – you're not kidding. I don't even know that name.
He
Chubby
is
Chandler?
It's going to make sense.
We're not talking about the singer, right?
Nope. That's Chubby Checker.
Oh, got it. Right.
Best director because he is the agent, the super uber agent who represented Roy McIlroy, Charles Schwartzel, and Darren Clark, who won 3 majors this year. And he's from Europe, and he's kind of part of this European invasion. And he kind of took on the PGA Tour as far as scheduling. So I think we got to give it to him.
Absolutely. Congratulations. Yeah,
yes.
It's a good call. Good call.
Creepiest stalker, Maddie, goes to me. It's the first time I've won my own award.
Yay, Maddie wins an award, and he's earned it. So, creepiest stalker?
Yeah, this is because I went to the Travelers in Hartford this year, because I live in Connecticut, and I kind of stalked Scott Verplank. who
outside
was playing,
of the golf course?
No, I just followed him because he was kind of like the only of the old guard that was there, that like one of my old favorites, and he was with Johnny Vegas, and I thought, what an interesting group to follow, because you know everybody was following Daly, everybody was following Ian Poulter, all the big names. A lot of people were following Keegan Bradley because he had won earlier in that summer. And he's from Massachusetts or from that, you know, from the Northeast. He's a Red Sox fan, so a lot of people. He had a lot of people there. Scott Verplank and Johnny Vegas, besides like 10 people from Venezuela who were following Johnny Vegas, they were alone. And there were times, Fred, where I was literally standing at the rope and I'm standing next to Scott as caddy, like I could have reached out and touched him. And, you know, at one point, I think Scott kind of looked at me like, what is this? Why is this man just following me? You know what I mean? And I kept going, nice. He kept missing birdie putts. I'm like, hey, nice run, Scott. You'll get the next one, Scott. And he's like, you know, probably 10 strokes off the lead. He's looking at me like, who the hell is this middle-aged man following me around? But I loved him.
Okay, but Scott, Matty, you really think he noticed you?
I do. Oh, no. I chatted with the caddy for a second, and Scott looked at my Red Sox hat and said something to the caddy about there being Red Sox fans, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, he definitely noticed me.
Okay.
That's why I was creepy stalker award. I think he was a little worried at one point because I kind of had that crazy look in my eye.
I'm just curious, how many were in this category that you were competing against?
It was a big year for stalkers, Fred.
It was a big year for stalkers.
I'm very proud of myself for taking this one home. I worked very hard at it. Thank you. Yeah. He was. Thank you. Thank
golf
you.
Clap. Yeah. Right.
But in one quick serious point, two things. Well, that's a good point. Johnny Vegas hits the ball further than I've ever seen anyone hit it in person. He absolutely just hammers the ball. It's crazy. And it was really interesting to watch Scott Verplank play with this kid because Scott Verplank is not a big ball hitter. And yet their scores were very similar. And it was just really interesting to watch two pros play a totally different game and kind of come up with the same result.
Yeah. Small ball versus long ball, huh?
Yeah, man. And both work, you know?
Yeah.
Both.
Well, you know, I think that should be a lesson for everybody as far as this whole notion of I want to hit it farther. I want to hit it farther. I want to hit it. It's like, no, you don't. You want to hit it straighter.
That's
you
right.
You want to hit your target. You don't. Yeah. It's all about hitting your target.
Verplank is 220 in a fairway bunker, and and I'm standing right there, and Vegas is hitting a wedge into the same green, and he's talking about quadrants of the green, and so is Vegas with his wedge or his 9-iron, but you know he's 200 yards back with a 5-iron or 4-iron out of a fairway bunker, and he's talking to his caddy about quadrants of the green,
nice.
Which quadrant of the green he's going to hit, and he does. You know, they were just missing birdie putts is all they were doing,
and that's why he's earned a stalker.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
They can do that.
And we shall be together someday.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Let's see. Oh, this is a big one. Best Picture.
Yes, every year. This is a very big one.
This is a big one. Best Picture goes to, you might not be aware of this, Fred, the Golf Boys for their song Oh, Oh, Oh. This is Ben Crane, Ricky Fowler, Bubba Watson, and Hunter Mahan sharing the award, the Matty for Best Picture, for their Golf Boys video. In fact, if you could, you might want to play a little drop of it right now.
Swing it like a boomerang, a tank, come around, round, wanna hit the top.
Ooh, lally, lally.
Chip, puck, you know what's the big whoop? When I play my game, and then I make my mama proud.
Woo. Smash, bang, you gotta hit the ball far, then the crowd goes,
woo.
Then you hear the
ooh, lally, lally.
Tweet, tweet.
I want my birdies all day long, let the bogeys go, and say, hey.
Ooh, lally, lally, hey.
You want to play with the pros now?
Hey!
You got to hit it in the hole now?
Hey!
You want to reach that top? Yeah?
Hey!
You got to give it all you got.
This is, for those of you who don't know, these guys did this for charity, and they made a video and a song, and I think it was the greatest, non-golf thing I've ever seen in golf, if you follow me. You know, it was the greatest promotional non-golf, you know, it blew away like Tiger's video games and things like that, because I think it was like the biggest dose of anti-golf we needed. And that is a bunch of young stars being funny and self-deprecating and having fun with themselves. You know, it was like everything Tiger hasn't been the last decade.
Yeah,
uptight and private and, yeah, or cannot. You're right. And he's a victim of his success in a lot of ways. But, you know, I think when you talk about this decade, the Tiger decade, it'll obviously be about him and what he did in Jason Jack's record. I think this next decade is going to be about these guys, you know, and how young and cool golf got and exciting. And I think this video represented it. I just love this. If you haven't seen it, look it up. The Golf Boys, and you'll be crying laughing. It's just so funny.
Well, we've been dancing to it this entire time. So,
yeah.
So let me get rid of that now, and we'll now. Okay.
And it got something like a million hits or something in like the first 72 hours or something.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was just a huge success and this weird thing, and you know, it ain't Arnie shilling Pennzoil. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, remember this as you watch that video. I can put it this way. 15 years ago, just 15 years ago or so, we thought Peter Jacobson was edgy. You know what I'm saying? And so I think this is a very exciting time for golf because these guys actually are young and edgy, and Ricky Fowler and the whole fashion thing and Bubba Watson's a little crazy. It's great. I think it's great. I think it's a really exciting time for golf, and this video represented it for me.
Good, because golf needs an infusion of something.
Yes.
To latch on to bring back so many different elements to it. I mean, so many things have suffered with Tiger's dalliance, and that would be, you know, not just the TV aspect of it and the tour, but the whole industry has suffered. And we need something to bring it back.
Yeah, I was excited this year. I agree. But there were moments for me this year that were as exciting as anything. You know, Rory at the Masters.
Mm.
And I understand he melted down. But, man, those few days. And then, again, at the U.S. Open, like, I really felt like I was watching new history happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody to root for. Exactly.
Yeah, man. It was exciting. And, and all these guys. I think I love watching Bubba play. I love watching him shape the ball. I love watching Fowler play just because of his style. You know, maybe he'll be one of those kind of Jacklin. Who was the guy who used to dress crazy against Jack Nicklaus? Was it Tony Jacklin who had fashion, you know, and he was more known for that? But that's fine. You know, we could use some of that.
Yeah, it definitely didn't work with John Daly in those pants.
Oh, by the by, I fist bumped John Bailey. Let me
take two.
I fist bumped John Daly at that same tournament as he was walking by me. So that was kind of exciting too.
And I haven't washed my hand in a week.
Actually, I washed it immediately after fist bumping. Okay. The Cocoon Award on the opposite side of things, the Cocoon Award goes to Darren Clark for winning a major at 85 years old or however old he is. Let's see. Oh,
that was a big one.
This is a big one. This is a big one. Comeback player of the year. We'll say, all right, we got two left. Two left.
Okay.
Okay. Adjust your tuxes, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The comeback player of the year.
Big. This is a big award for you. Yeah.
Yeah, this is. This is a big Maddie. This goes to David Toms.
Okay.
Because he came back in general, just in the general sense of making his career relevant again. You know, he was on that list of, like, you know, early mid-90s guys who was kind of, you know, made a name for himself, but was on the senior tour push. You know, he was kind of done. And, boy, came back strong this year. But also, he made a specific comeback, and that was when he lost to KJ and the Players by pulling that putt. And then the next week wins at the Crown Plaza. And, you know, the whole thing with his son being there and the crushing way he lost to KJ missing that putt. I mean, the tournament was his, and he missed a putt on the final hole. And then comes back the next week with his son there again and wins. Now, granted, you know, losing the Players and winning the Crown Plaza Invitational might be a little like going to Hooters instead of the Playboy Mansion, but...
But there are people who want to do that.
Unlike going to Hooters, we walked away feeling good about ourselves in this story. So, way to go, David Toms.
When we're done, I have a Hooters story for it, but I can't share it now.
Off the air?
Yeah.
By the way, in the history of mankind,
yes,
in radio, except for the Howard Stern show, maybe, has anyone ever said, "Oh, I've got a Hooters story for you. I'm going to tell it on air." No, it's always, "I have a Hooters story for you. We'll wait till
I know." I know somebody who I'll tell this part of it without trying to get too personal, because, you know, I have a nephew who's got a girlfriend, and his girlfriend is, let's just say, she was top 3 in the Miss Hooters International Bikini Contest for a couple years now.
I may have to think my Maddie Stocker Award recipient. After
hey,
that.
She's been to my house for dinner. She's a lovely woman. And
no, I meant me. I meant me, by the way. I'm gonna come
And last but not least, for the 2011 PGA Tour Maddie B Awards.
Ooh, I'm nervous. This is Player of the Year. This is a big one. A lot of debate. A lot of people are going to argue with me on this.
And please send your emails to click on the Hey Fred button, and I would love to hear your feedback. Other than, don't ever have that guy on again, because this is my show. But I'd love to hear your thoughts, and I'll share it with Maddie. Player of the Year Award.
Yes. This goes to – now, a lot of people were multiple winners this year, won twice.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of debate. But I am going with – drum roll – Keegan Bradley. Wow. Keegan Bradley gets Player of the Year. He was – because, you know, I think it's kind of simple. Stricker won twice. Mark Wilson won twice at the beginning of the year. He looked like he was going to be Player of the Year. But he won so early. Webb Simpson won twice, I believe. Bubba Watson won twice. Luke Donald won – two or three times, and he's number one player in the year. But Keegan is the only multiple winner where one of the victories was a major this year. And the fact that he's so young, and he just won the Sony Open, which is when you take the Hawaii one where they take the four major winners and play against each other. So, I mean, I don't see how you beat that. I guess you could say the number one ranking with Luke, but that, again, is another kind of arbitrary mathematical number. I think this kid stepped up as a young man, won a major, and then won again, and then won again at the Sony against other major winners. And most importantly, he's a Red Sox fan. Thank you very much.
Oh, now he comes out. He's a Red Sox fan.
Well, that may or may not have something to do with it.
And I'll tell you where my head was on this.
Yes.
Not only is Keegan Bradley the nephew of LPGA great and World Golf Hall of Fame member Pat Bradley. I've played golf this year. I've done my share of my Golf Smarter interviews and focused on improving my game and seeing what I can do to get information to improve others' games. Can I be completely honest with you?
Yes.
Up until this moment?
Yes.
I'd never heard of Keegan Bradley.
Wow. Well.
I had no idea. I thought you were making this up. I had to go online and look it up, and it's like, oh, gee, look at this guy. No.
This is a great point, and I'm glad you said that, and I'm glad for your honesty, because I think it falls right into what I was saying earlier about this decade is going to be about the new guard and all the exciting players. This kid is tall, lanky. He's an athlete. He's a great kid. He had a life outside of golf. He's not one of these kids that was brought up with a coach, you know, and like prodigy. Even though his aunt was famous, he skied all winter. He didn't move down south. You know, he's a normal, well-rounded guy, and he's just exciting. He's exciting to watch, and he's young, and he's kind of dangerous, and he's got an attitude. I love him. I love all these guys. I think this is going to be a real exciting time in golf.
Ah, well, Maddie B., once again, it was so much fun to do this with you and to talk to you. I appreciate it. Yes, and I really appreciate you putting time together to do this, because I know it's just totally who cares, but it's just
I
for
love
us.
It.
It's so much
I love
fun.
It. I love it. Can I do some plugs, Fred?
Please. I hope you will.
You'll notice me. I was on season two, the premiere episode on Boardwalk Empire. You'll see me on Boardwalk Empire. I actually arrest Steve Buscemi, the Nucky Thompson character.
Wow. Awesome. Yes. Oh, good.
I've got another.
I always loved your spot on, and we talked about this, that little piece that you did on 30 Rock.
Oh, yes. 30 Rock was a blast. I loved doing that. This Boardwalk was equally as fun. I got a little part on this show called How to Make It in America that's also on HBO. I play a federal agent. Look for that this fall. For those of you that have History Channel and History Channel 2, I host a new show called, believe it or not, it's part of the Modern Marvels series.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Is That a Blank in Your Pocket?
And no.
It premieres on November 7th on H2, which is History Channel's spinoff channel. And then I believe it'll run in syndication on the History Channel itself. But the premiere of that show is November 7th.
2011.
On H2, yep. At 10 p.m. And I'm the host. And you'll see me, Maddie Blake.
And we're recording this let's just say that November 7th has already passed. For
yes.
all of those listening.
Okay, so
which means
go
you can
back.
Still find it. History Channel 2.
And find it.
And find what is the name?
What's part of your pocket? It sounds worse than it is. It's part of the Modern Marvels franchise, and it's called "Is That a Blank in Your Pocket?" And what we really are focusing on.
Are you
on
just happy to see me? I mean, did you really?
I didn't title the show, Fred. I just hosted it. What we're talking about is actually someone like you would love this show, and a lot of your listeners probably are kind of gadget people.
Oh my god! I'm a total gadget geek.
Okay, we're talking about nanotechnology, and I go around the country on this show, and I kind of interview people about technology that they have that could fit in their pocket and things that help them live and do their jobs. We talk about historical, like what presidents carried in their pockets to help them do their jobs. Some of it's tech, some of it's not, but a lot of it is kind of gadgety. So it's a fun show.
Very cool. History Channel 2.
And you can... follow me on Twitter at MattyBlakeActor.com, at MattyBlakeActor.com. And of course, MattyBlake.com is open for your viewing pleasure.
Buddy, it's been awesome. Thank you.
You're the best.
Obviously, that was recorded before Tiger won his own tournament, because I'm sure it would have been a topic of discussion that went quite a while. I got to tell you my latest story about my new Score Golf wedges. I played last week. I couldn't putt for shit. I spent a lot of time in fairway bunkers. I'm not saying I hit a lot of greens in regulation, but my first putt to the hole was generally shorter than usual. I know it's the Indian, not the arrow, but each time I play with these Score Golf wedges, my confidence is increasing. Not just the distance, but the line and the ball flight is so much better, I'm much more aggressive at attacking the pin. So here's the deal. As a Golf Smarter member, for a limited time, and I need to remind you of that because I keep forgetting, it's a limited time offer. You get a 15% discount on your order just by using the checkout code GOLFSMARTER15. Now, whether you order on the phone or online, the code is valid for 15% off the complete order. Now, if you missed the full story on these 41 to 61 degree customized wedges, listen back to episode number 307, appropriately titled, Gimme 10 Feet Closer Over 10 Yards Farther Any Day. For everything you need to know about these wedges, there's a simple shortcut that will take you directly to their own Golf Smarter members landing page. Just click on the Score Golf banner on the members homepage of golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.